Hello and welcome to The Unmissables, episode 52.
What's that you say? 52?
52. What does that mean? You're listening to the voice of Stephanie Seelan. I'm Boyd Hilton. Carrie Barrow is also here.
And Hello. She's going to tell us what this means. Kay, what does this mean?
It's officially our birthday.
Happy birthday to us. What'd you get us, Boyd?
It's just you singing. I've got you a half-drunk can of sparkling grape and elderflower.
Oh, that's what I wanted.
Pop from Pret a Manger.
I've got you a Kinder egg.
Other brands
you
are available.
Me a Kinder bar.
Kinder bar.
Thank you very much, though.
You're welcome.
This week's special 52nd first year anniversary edition includes some very exciting reviews news, I bet.
Yes, Kate, I can confirm.
Yeah. It's a big Netflix versus Amazon Prime show this week.
It's a because of Titans.
Titans, exactly, of streaming. Because next Friday, which is, what date is it? April the 13th. Friday the 13th,
Ooh.
Steph. Two huge shows start. Lost in Space, another massive, huge budgeted, 10-part Netflix epic starts. And also on the same day, Bosch, which I know you have a history with.
Bosch, one of Amazon, my faves.
Amazon Prime's flagship detective drama. Kicks off as well, which I think also is 10 parts.
Yeah.
So it's a big day, Friday the 13th, and we're going to review both. And finally, on the Sky Arts, a new series of their interesting slash controversial kind of comedy drama one-offs called Urban Myths, which each week tells the story of very, very famous people played by other actors doing something famous. And do you remember there was one?
There was a Michael Jackson one.
Yes.
And Ralph Fiennes?
No. Joseph Fiennes,
his
brother, was cast as Michael Jackson. Joseph Fiennes being Caucasian, Michael Jackson being not Caucasian, and Michael Jackson's own daughter complained vociferously, and it was never shown.
Fair enough.
That episode has never been seen on our television screens.
No.
And nor should it be.
There's no white people playing black people, as far as I'm aware, in this series. Mm-hmm. What we do have is the opening episode, which is all about Marilyn Monroe filming Some Like It Hot, the all-time classic, some would say one of the best films ever made. We're going to review that, aren't we, Kate?
I'm excited.
Before any of that, though, let's stick with tradition and find out what true crime shows on Netflix featuring...
Dogs.
Sometimes featuring dogs are on... Courtesy of Steph, our true crime Netflix correspondent.
Well, Dogspert.
You're all going to have to eat your own words because I haven't watched anything on Netflix.
What?
Yeah, nothing. Not one
have
thing.
Have you finally been shut down?
Devastated.
No. Do you know what it is?
You've run out.
Honestly. Yeah. I know You've this sounds ridiculous. I have run out.
What?
I have watched so much Netflix.
I thought we
honestly,
would happen.
This is the truth.
That's like
is this.
Running out of the internet.
No, the truth is that I was on the Netflix last night. And I was looking to. I've watched everything. I don't know. Like, I'd finished Wild Wild City, which is the program I talked about last week, which is about Rajneeshpuram, the cult.
Mm.
And I just, there's nothing else. I watch everything.
Have you had to go terrestrial?
What I did do
have
is.
Have you checked in with Auntie?
No, I didn't go that far. So these are the things
Uncle
I've watched.
Channel 4.
Well.
Great niece, ITV.
So did anyone watch Supervet last night?
No.
Okay. Don't scoff, okay? Because it's a great programme and it's on live TV. So, live Supervet. TV.
When she says live TV, yeah. Anyone who doesn't listen regularly, she just means TV that is on the day.
Mm. Yeah, live.
Linear television.
Live.
Live. You watched it live.
Live TV. Yesterday, well, they've ramped it up, guys, because yesterday there's a new element, okay? Celebrities bringing on their pets.
Oh, I don't know if I'm into that.
Hold on. No.
It becomes a celebrity special.
No, it's not a celebrity special. It's just dogs that are in need. And yesterday, Mark Owen, he of Take That.
Ooh, yeah. Now I'm interested.
I know. He took his dog on because his dog's had a little bit of a problem with his knees. Now, why this is brilliant, okay, is because... Now, Supervet is very, very strict about, this is what you have to do. Like, I'm doing this very expensive operation. Don't let him lick and get, you know, an infection. Don't keep him on the lead.
Don't let him lick his knees.
Yeah, don't. Like.
God, he'd have to have a long time,
wouldn't he? Mark Owen was doing everything wrong, and he was getting reprimanded.
Oh.
Like, only the Supervet can, which is just
How
by going.
How could you tell Mark that little angelic face?
That's why it was so funny, because he would be like, it's okay, but really it was not okay. It was not okay because he wasn't taking care of him properly. And he let him chase a deer after a major operation. I mean, that's crazy. Anyway, it's worth a watch because next week, Lee Dixon's bringing in his...
Whoa, now you're talking. Hold on. Dicko.
He is bringing... bringing in
Arsenal legend Lee Dicko Dixon.
He is bringing in. I see. I knew you'd be interested.
Now you're talking.
Well, he's only bringing in his beloved rescue dog next week. Yeah, so you'll be tuning in for that. Okay.
Is he a current player or a former one?
Former.
Okay.
Legend.
Yeah. So it's good.
Oh, excited now.
Okay.
Excellent.
So watch that. Then, in search of something else to watch, I turned to podcasts because I was like
podcasts. You've renamed them.
I turned to podcasts because I saw that Alec Baldwin had an interview with the head of HBO documentaries, Sheila Nevins, and I thought she's going to be telling me about a new documentary that she's doing.
Policymakers.
Okay. Right.
Is she a policymaker?
No, she isn't a policymaker. Well, she is a policymaker of sorts.
Alec Baldwin.
Just in case you don't realise, Boyd has a
Each week we talk to actors, writers, policymakers.
I have to say, that's my second favourite impression you do to Prince Albert.
Prince Albert. It's not as good as Prince Albert. Okay. Okay, and I'm not going to go through it again, but he does talk to policymakers. Okay, he does. Yeah. Anyway, so he's got a chat with Sheila Nevins. She, since 1979, right, has been in charge of HBO documentaries. Mm. And it is a fascinating chat. She talks really candidly. She's written a new book called You Don't Look Your Age and Other Fairy Tales, which is what she was on there to plug. But it's all about kind of, it's loosely based on her life, but she's made, there's other characters in it that represent things that have happened to her, but she's let them happen to other characters, if you know what I mean. So it's not, it's semi-autobiographical. Yeah. But she does.
She's protecting
really
the identity of the perpetrators.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know what you meant. Sorry, but now I do.
But also herself. So it's very strange.
Right.
So she's like lots of things that
that's
happened in her
strange.
Life. She then, but it is
I really
a bit
don't
strange.
Know what you mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But what's
what
really
she called herself in the book?
Like Melissa. She's Melissa. There's one character called Sheila.
Look,
no,
Sheila, you know your name.
I know it sounds confusing.
What's her name?
One character's called Sheila in it. There's another called Melissa. So she basically puts her situations that have happened to her on other characters.
So that's like Boyd writing a book and calling himself Barry.
No, we see only if there was a Boyd in the book as well.
I'm genuinely
so if there was Boyd
bewildered
Barry.
By this bloody Sheila book.
Okay, so
Sandra, Steph, Kalindra, okay.
Anyway,
no,
let's forget the book. Right. What was she saying about bloody HBO documentaries?
So she was basically talking about how documentaries used to be a dirty word, and they used to have to plug them as they used to call them docutainment.
Oh, God.
I know. And she is responsible for probably nearly all the good documentaries you'll see.
Ever. All of them.
Just
not
every single one.
Not just on HBO.
No,
she's like a goddess to you then.
Yeah, she's incredible. It was just very interesting, and I think her book is going to be really good, and I'm going to read it.
What's the book called again?
It's called You Don't Look Your Age and Other Fairy Tales, because apparently she doesn't look her age because she had a lot of plastic surgery, which Alec Baldwin talks to her about.
Oh.
But she also talks about Baghdad ER, which is an incredible documentary. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she talks about that, and she talks about how she got the mother of one of the soldiers who died in it, how she got that piece of footage in, which is very, very moving. And she talks about her son who's got Tourette's, and she made a documentary on Tourette's about her son, and that was very interesting as well. So you should listen to it. It's only 42 minutes. You can give it 42 minutes. So Sheila Nevins, that is. And, sorry, Boyd, you were asking something.
I was just going to ask. Did I mention last week the Alec Baldwin episode with Janice Mint? Did I mention that? We're talking about Us Weekly.
Did.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, you did.
Crack on.
Yeah, you did, because you said the whole thing about, is that what you went to journalism school for?
Oh, yeah. See, I forget. I'm an old man.
It's okay. I listen to the podcast, so I remember.
Thank God someone does.
I know. And then the other thing that my new thing that I've decided to start watching is Atlanta. Donald Glover, written and directed.
Hold on, wait a minute. Series one. Series two hasn't arrived yet on these shores.
It has on screeners.
Oh, here we go.
The illegals.
Here we go.
No, actual screeners. It's on Fox screeners.
You mean the service we get as TV critics, essentially.
Right, so this is what happened.
That's a good point. Yeah, I haven't had time to look at it.
Come on a journey with me, right? Okay. So I was in bed last night, desperately looking
for... I don't know if that's a journey I want
to
take.
No, you do. Desperately looking for something on Netflix. Got all the way down to the bottom of everything. All critically acclaimed. Nah, watched it all. You know, all new releases, done them. You know, everything. Seen everything.
It's an overachiever.
We get the idea.
Right. And I thought, oh, God, maybe there's something new on one of the screeners. So then I went onto Fox Screeners and I thought, oh, Atlanta.
So we've been sent, just to explain, Fox Screeners is this official, to be fair, website of Fox shows that they make and produce that we get sent to. I think we got sent to review something else, didn't we? To review another show.
Deep State,
right, last week. And all their shows that are available to look at. And the new series, was it the new series?
It's the new series, but I had never heard of it before, so I thought it was a new show.
You've never heard of Atlanta? Donald Glover's show, yeah, it's brilliant.
I had never heard of it before. So I watched the first one, and then I realised it said season two. Yeah. And I thought, aha, there's a season one of this, so I'm going to dig that out.
You did that.
Right? So then I hunted around. I mean, I just went to the Sky app, and it was on on there.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it's brilliant. So I was like, what is this about? Yeah. So it's about two cousins who are trying to make it in Atlanta in the rap scene. Yes, as Boyd said, written and directed by Donald Glover, who is yummy and absolutely brilliant, and it's really, really funny. And the second season has got Cat Williams in it as his uncle. I don't know whether he was in it in the first season, but that is hilarious. And yeah, I'm going to be binge watching that over the weekend.
Did you see the brilliant story this week that said Donald Glover was supposed to be doing an animated cartoon series version of Deadpool for Ooh. The FX channel, which is the channel that shows that program,
yeah,
Atlanta in America, and they cancelled it before it got made. So they
Pray
said,
tell why?
And well, there were kind of allusions to. I don't think they ever really officially explained it. They just said they didn't work going with it. You know, often happens in TV projects. They just decide not to do it. But there were people alluded to the fact that he's so busy, you know, because he's doing this Atlanta show, which
so
he totally
talented.
Creates himself and yeah. stars in. He's in films, you know. Mm. He's in the Marvel films, isn't he?
Yeah.
So. He did this, his own kind of like treatment for a imaginary episode of this show where he completely went for all the people in a kind of, in a circumspect, but obviously this is what he's saying, way about racism in the TV industry Mm-mm. and calling out all kinds of current Facebook and all. And it's an incredible thing. Have a look at it.
Where will I see it?
I think Variety did a story on it, but if you Google Donald Glover and...
It's on the internet.
It's on the net. Deadpool, Donald Glover,
he's
Google
so
it.
Talented,
but also fearless
Good
and
for him.
Bold. And I think he knows that he's so brilliant these days. And he tweeted
he
it as well.
Tweeted
Donald
it.
Glover, thanks, John Dan. John Dan's reminded us that yeah. he actually tweeted it. Wow. Anyway, he's a legend. And thanks for reminding us about Atlanta.
Yeah, so we should actually review Atlanta. So if you want to watch Atlanta Series 1, it's all on Sky.
Oh, I might watch it then.
It's really,
so
really good. And it's out there only half an hour.
Oh, even better. I like that.
It's a half hour comedy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a half, but it's not. It's not really clear that it's a comedy very early on, is it? Because it's a certain type of comedy.
Am I going to lie?
It's clearly a comedy.
No, it's not clear.
It's a comedy.
It's not clear. It's a comedy.
Okay. Anyway, have you finished, Steph?
Yeah, and there's no crime there. But the ending of Wild Wild City is very interesting on Netflix.
There's no crime where? Oh, there.
There's no crime here. There's literally
in this
no
room.
Crime. No.
There's no crime with you.
Yeah. No, not today.
John's shaking.
Oh, sorry. Can I just say?
Last thing.
I know.
No.
One, I promise this is the last thing.
Oh, my God. Is this like a Steph season special?
This is an extended version of the podcast.
Last thing, and I'm
going to
stop.
3 hours.
John's answering. I finished Atlanta Monster. And the last episode of Atlanta Monster, the podcast about the man Wayne Williams, who's in prison for the child murders, is...
just written a note.
Oh, no. Right.
In Atlanta, someone shot Ask John. Yeah.
Breaking news. There is crime in the first episode of Atlanta that I'm not going
to
spoil.
I just can't believe that our producer and guru, John, is extending your slot on the show. I mean,
But listen, this is really the Atlanta slot because I've gone from... Hold on.
It's so hot in here and...
Bear with.
With all due respect, you've been talking for an hour and I think I might pass out.
No, it's worth it.
Okay, I'm afraid your section of this podcast might have to be reduced to 30 seconds.
No, listen, Atlanta the show, that bit's ended now. Now I'm on Atlanta Monster, the podcast, okay?
Right. So, the podcast.
Also in Atlanta.
Yeah.
No, but the last episode aired this week.
Oh.
And the last episode is really good. It went a little bit rubbish in the middle. But just so you know, if you are in that bit where you've already given up, do go to the last episode. Because in the last episode, they absolutely present all of the evidence for Wayne Williams. And it's very, very good. And I promise you... But now I will not speak for the rest of the episode.
Thanks very much for those recommendations.
You're saying thanks, but I feel like you don't really mean
it. No, it was great. Kay.
Hi.
Beat that. Follow that,
I
as
can't.
They say.
There's no point in me even trying.
You have to have something about Atlanta.
I don't. I've done a catch-up, though. That's what's been happening in my life. And I've been watching... So, you know what I was really into? Late to the party, I was into The Tunnel. And every time I talked about it on the podcast, I'd get a tweet from a POG, people on the ground saying, but The Bridge is better. It's really good. You need to watch The Bridge. So I took your advice and I've started watching it because... So I didn't bother watching the first series because The Tunnel's strictly based on that, I know. So I went straight into series 2, which is fantastic. And the reason why I'm doing this also is because I've been invited to the screening of the first episode of the final series.
Oh, yeah. Have I been invited to that?
I don't know, Boyd. Have you?
Boyd, not
Excuse
everything.
Me while I check my iPhone email.
It's the golden ticket everyone wants. Yeah. So I thought I'd better quickly get through.
Sorry,
so series 2.
Hold on. Just clarify. Right. What have you been... You've been invited to the
The Bridge.
Final series, opening episode. Where is that taking place? Yeah, a lavish hotel. Yeah, on the bridge.
I'm not sure we should say where it's taking
place. Somewhere in London. No, it doesn't have to be specific.
It's in London. Yeah, I have been invited. Thank heavens for that.
Okay. Well, Boyd will be there if they
Yeah, and you know it's moving to BBC Two.
And coffee.
Is it?
Yes. So it was on the BBC Four Saturday.
Highest rated drama, wasn't it?
BBC Four Saturday Night slot thing, The Killing, The Bridge. But it's so huge they're moving to BBC Two, yeah.
It's amazing. Boyd, do you want to be my plus one?
Yeah. Well, I don't need a plus one because I've been invited.
Okay, cool. I've been watching that. But one thing I would
Who's taking
say,
me? Who's taking Boyd? Me as their plus one?
Okay. We'll try.
Boyd's
we'll try
taking the bullet. Taking one for the team. Now, literally taking one for the team. what I would say is, and this might be controversial, mm-hmm. is that I still think Elise, who is in the tunnel mm-hmm. and is the counterpart of...
Clemence Poozie.
Sega Saga. I think she's better.
Oh, that's controversial.
I know. John Dan won't agree.
Is it exactly the same as the tunnel?
The first series.
The bridge is all about finding a body cut in half on the bridge. The tunnel is about finding a body cut in half in the tunnel.
It. No, it's not cut in half. The head is in one part. It's not half.
Well,
decapitation.
That's another key difference. there you go. Completely different. But apart from those, they're more or less the same. Yeah. Carry on. But from series two onwards, they've diverted. They parted company.
It is
and
really
now they're
good.
In completely different places.
Right, so okay. Steph, you love the tunnel.
Yeah.
So now I would recommend going to season two of The Bridge, watching two and three, and get ready for four.
It
you'll
doesn't
be obsessed
feel
with
right
it.
To start on season two.
All right, rewatch season one, even though you know what's going to happen. I don't mind. No skin off my nose.
Yes. Believe it or not, there was also an American... You know, there was an American remake.
What was it called?
Which I think was also The Bridge. Extraordinarily. So
really?
There's three versions of this effing thing, if not more. I mean, there's probably
Steph
others.
Steph might want that one because he won't have to read it.
The American version...
Is it a full read?
It's a full read.
The American version was shown on a UK channel as well. So at one point, I remember, you could actually watch three versions of the same effing thing.
At the same time?
Pretty much at the same time, yeah.
That's lunacy.
Yeah. Look,
silly
I'm
season.
American drama series, The Bridge, everyone on my phone.
Confirm, I can verify Boyd's shown us that it was shown in the UK.
And that was
American
about
version.
A body found on the bridge connecting Texas and Mexico.
Where was that body cut into?
Legs. It was just the legs were taken off.
Not 100% sure, yeah. But we'll find out.
That's
we'll get back
a
to
key
you.
Difference.
Key question. Okay, and then finally, the other entertainment thing I've been super... super excited about this week, like beyond excited. Dawson's Creek. Now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This is exciting.
Now, from my childhood, that was one of the biggest teen shows. Other than, like, latterly The OC, I absolutely love Dawson's Creek. If you, too, like Dawson's Creek, then you've got
to... I don't
want to
wait for our lives to be over. That was the thinking.
I was going to... Do you know what? I was going to join you singing that, and I realised you'd pitched it too high.
Yeah, that was very
high. I think you'll find that was pitch perfect.
Anyway, if you loved it, Entertainment Weekly, the American magazine, did a shoot, exclusive interviews, got the cast, the key cast, reminiscing about their best memories of that time, because it's 20 years from when it first begun, and it's amazing. And not only that, so you can read all about it online, they've done a backstage video. They've filmed the cast talking about it, and it's 55 glorious minutes long.
Bloody hell.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched the whole thing?
No, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous. I don't know. This is probably one of the most preposterous thing I'll say today.
Today?
Just today. I can't bear to watch it.
Have you been taking the random things to say pills from Steph?
Yeah. I have. Okay. I know that sounds crazy, but you know when you just love something so much, I can't.
Okay.
If it doesn't meet my expectations.
But you will watch it eventually.
I will, okay. But I'm just putting
I'll
off
tell
a
you
bit.
What, I'll watch it for you and then I will tell
Give
you
me the, highlights.
The necessary response that you'll
Yeah,
need.
Just make sure it's good.
What do you want it to contain?
A lot, oh my God. So obviously my love for Joshua Jackson started as Pacey Witter in Dawson's Creek. And I just need to know if he is in it a lot.
Okay.
Because I've seen a little gif of him and Katie Holmes, who dated on the show and in real life, interacting a lot. So I just need to make sure that is in the video.
I've got your back, don't worry.
Thanks.
Thank you.
No, thank
that
you,
was,
Boyd.
You mastered the art of brevity very well.
And what have you been watching?
All I'm going to say is, I'm just going to talk about one thing very quickly, which is that Ready Player One, which will have opened by the time we come out.
Right.
Go on. What's your...
No, I'm just going to say... It's just because you... Kay's only talked about two things and you're only going to talk about one, which makes me look indulgent.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. That's the point. So, obviously Ready Player One last night, as we're recording this on just
Steven
before
Spielberg's
Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One. And I really enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it. So you, people on the ground may well have seen it over the Easter weekend, because it's the big Easter weekend film coming out. So, you know, see whether you're with me or not. But one thing I wanted to say. No. The but is not about the film. Hmm. The but is about the reviews of this film. So I want to make a, I'm going to make a point here about spoilers.
Okie dokie.
Because this film, right, if, in case you don't know, it's all about set in the future, and it's all about gaming and in a world where, a bit like the TV show we reviewed last week, which you hated, Kiss Me First.
Channel 4.
It's all about this vast virtual gaming world that in the future, pretty much the whole population, certainly of America, and I think it's implied the world, is obsessed with. And they spend now more time escaping into this virtual world and playing games there and interacting with each other virtually than they do in their real world, because the real world has been pretty grim. So, like, the main character, the young guy, lives in a kind of shantytown thing, and he just finds a little place, his own little place among this, like, burnt out cars to play his to game, and he's like to play this world. And the idea is this huge virtual world that's been created by this like Steve Jobs type figure and his partner. He dies, and he sets a puzzle for the whole world to find these three clues, to find these three keys in this virtual world, and then whoever wins gets to own this whole virtual world, which is worth billions and billions, and you like to take over the world.
I definitely want
to
play that game.
So the kid is essentially fighting corporate powers that be about this sort of thing. Anyway,
does he? Oh, you can't tell me if he finds the keys.
Oh my god! I mean, this section's about spoilers.
You're literally asking for a spoiler. Amazing. But no, what I wanted
why
to say
you
is,
can't tell me.
The whole point of this film, the whole unique thing about this film is, from the word go, as soon as you dive into the virtual world and all these games, it's full of amazing pop culture references, like mainly from the 80s. So it's all about how you see like figures from the 80s, films from the 80s, music from the 80s.
Please say Bullseye's in it.
Bullseye, spoiler alert, does not feature.
Oh, she's
a
out.
Bit of bully.
Oh, no, I'm opting
bear
out.
In mind it is American. So it's okay, mainly, but not exclusively, American pop culture references. Now then, so in the first scene, there's a huge big car race, right? I'm trying not to spoil it because this is the point I'm making. All these amazing creatures from old films pop up in the middle of this like car race thing. It's really exciting. So I read the review in Variety, Showbiz Bible Variety, which I read all Variety's reviews, and it literally is a list of every single thing that happens in this film in terms of these pop culture references. And it just, I've never seen a review that's ruined a film so much for me in my life.
So do you feel like you've read the film, you don't need to see it really, if you read that review?
And I think it's almost like the case of the reviewer being so arrogant that that he thinks, people reading Variety are like, you know, insiders, and they're not going to mind that I'm giving every single great bit of this film away in my review. It's also lazy because it's literally a list half the time of just all these brilliant things that happen in the film.
Seem to be striking up a bit of a beef with a Variety reviewer.
I have a huge beef about it. I've just honestly, because I remember
that's
reading
really
it thinking,
annoying if you're really excited for a film and then you read a review just getting a gist of it, and then it's actually detailed everything.
It's not until you see the film that you realise how much this has ruined the experience, because it's all about the joy of seeing all of these things suddenly come alive in front of you you're not expecting. And there's one major sequence that is so bold and incredible, the way they incorporate an old piece of popular culture, I'm not even going to say what it is, into the story, that's so brilliant and kind of daring and weird, and you've never seen anything like it before. It's mentioned in that effing review. And I can't believe that thing.
So
I saw it, I thought, I remember reading about this. And how brilliant would it have been if I had no idea this was going
to
happen?
Although, to be fair, it sounds like you'd forgotten about it.
Well, that's the thing. So I had not quite forgotten enough to, at that point, think, this was mentioned in that review. Because I read the review about 3 weeks ago.
So what we're saying is, people, go and see the film. Pogs, go and see the film. Do not Google Variety review.
Oh, God, no.
But don't read anything about
and
it.
And I thought, so as soon as I'd seen the film, I thought, was I going mad? And then I reread the review and I was even more furious and tweeted about it. And then I thought, let me compare it with The Hollywood Reporter, which is their big rival. And I read their review and they didn't give anything away at all. So if you want to read a non-spoiler review that will indicate what's so great about it, Hollywood Reporter, don't read the Variety review.
So you are Team Hollywood Reporter.
Team Hollywood Reporter right now.
Right, fine.
And I it has got my favourite scene in a sequence. This sequence I'm talking about, I'm not going to spoil, but when people see it, you'll know it. It's my favourite sequence of a film this year because it's so brilliant. It's so amazing.
I really want to know what it is, but then you'll be Variety afterwards, and I don't want you to be Variety.
No, you'll see it. You'll find a way of saying it, if you know what I mean. Anyway, let's talk about... Oh, no!
Oh, yay!
This is the first time you've remembered.
This is the first time I ever remember that we have reviews news. It's a historic moment. What do we have?
Reviews news! Reviews news!
Oh, I actually can't remember.
I'm amazed Kay's got time for it, but after...
She's got time.
I'm going to whip through them. So, just to outline what we're trying to do, this isn't why
in
this ordeal is happening.
In case you don't know, you lovely pogs out there, people on the ground.
As you'll know from the beginning of the show, it's our birthday today, and this is April, our birth month.
Thanks for the cards, guys.
By the end of the month, we hope to reach 100 reviews on iTunes. That is our only birthday wish.
Oh, I tell you, this will make you happy. Mm. So I checked Alec Baldwin, okay, and
he's got 99 reviews.
97.
No, 97. He has not. Yeah. Steph, 97,000.
No, 97 reviews and loads of people listen to him.
Are you kidding?
No. Are you sure?
Yes.
No, I think you...
No, I checked.
Sure, it's like a new cycle of reviews. Where
no,
the
97 reviews.
Okay. John Dan's checking. No, yeah. John Dan's checking. That is an incredible fact,
okay,
if true.
Well.
Anyway, so we're trying to reach 100. Last week we had 82, I believe. This week we... give the crux of the issue, actually.
Yes.
Boyd said we wouldn't be able to reach 100 by the end of April. And also, he's promised to apologise to the pogs, who he doubted.
And I checked because I listened to the podcast. You said yes. And also, we're in for a tasty treat.
Because you said you'd buy us a cake from Patisserie Valerie.
Yeah.
Okay, this week we have...
Okay, sorry. Breaking news. He has gone up a couple since I checked yesterday.
He's got 99 reviews.
But is, right,
Alec
See?
Baldwin.
99.
That's 99 ratings.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is, Boyd.
Yeah, that's
ratings.
What they're saying.
Okay, all right. Carry
okay.
On.
No more interruptions.
Yeah.
Last week we had 82 reviews, and this week we've got 87. Woo!
87 reviews.
Listen, that's only 12 less than Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
You should change the bet to can we beat Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, well, we're going to.
So well, listen, that will here be 100, Boyd. So that is exactly what we're trying to do. If only you would listen. Kay, please go ahead with the official reviews news.
Right, we've had Rach the reviewer. She said, love this podcast and listen every week. She watched the tunnel off the back of the podcast and loved it. She hopes we get 100 reviews and Boyd has to buy you the biggest cake from Patisserie Valerie.
Do you know the biggest cakes are like wedding cakes? They're like huge, like they're five-tiered like
Boyd.
Oh, okay.
Three-figure cakes.
Right.
Perfect. Okay, we've got this one. It's from Swanee Blade.
Mm, good name.
Great pod, very entertaining and some good recommendations.
Yeah.
So exciting. Only let down is the irritating reviews news segment.
Come again.
Made worse by one of the hosts' mini meltdown tantrum last week.
Oh,
now,
amazing.
We just got to say on this note, Boyd apologises outright for that. And he's sorry about it. And we've had a word with him because we thought it was embarrassing.
It was a bit much.
That's fine. No need for you to say anything, Boyd. You've done enough.
Boyd,
you've done enough. And he says, girls, I hope this gets you close to 100. And Boyd, buy them a cake.
Yeah.
Can I just say that? I was just looking at these review ratings things. Mm. So Mark Maron's podcast, which some might say is a close rival of Alec Baldwin's, has got 10,979.
Boyd,
like
I don't make up.
He's not making up the stats, Boyd.
No,
you saw
it
with your eyes. Okay. 99 reviews, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, the discerning listener will only review when they, you know, really feel.
Hey guys,
strongly
I've got an
it.
Idea. Let's focus on our reviews.
Yeah.
Right. So now we move very swiftly on to Private 25241, and he says, I'm assuming it's a he. Steph and Kay are brilliant and insightful, but the constant interruptions by Boyd makes it almost unlistenable.
No, is this true?
Yeah. No, Steph, wait.
Oh.
He keeps interrupting them to make an inverted commas joke. And then 10 minutes later, they haven't been able to get to the point because of it. Now, I salute this person because of their love, deep love of sarcasm. This guy is obviously being sarcastic.
No, he's not.
And I love that. Of course it is. That is not real, Boyd.
Boyd, everyone loves you. We know that to be a fact.
No, clearly. Not clearly.
No, that's obviously a joke.
I don't think it is a joke. I think you're wrong.
Oh, my God.
I think
no,
you're completely wrong.
Obviously, it's a joke. And I salute you for that because I love sarcasm and I think that was brilliant.
Private. He's given it 2 stars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
Okay. You've read out a really horrible review that clearly has a massive go at me.
Hold on a minute.
Boyd, it's sarcasm.
It's not.
We
it
must
is.
Be balanced.
Don't pretend you think it's sarcasm. I mean, I'm fully in favour of reading out reviews. But don't pretend it's 2 stars.
Boyd, she's made an error, okay?
I haven't made an
no,
error.
No, it's fine.
Because it's what Steph
but
and I...
You've completely misinterpreted it.
You've made Boyd look like a right dick.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm so sorry.
The but it's all right. It's fine because I've got my own back because a little twist in the reviews news is that I do believe, Steph, what you were doing was looking at the rating of maybe one episode of
Alec Baldwin.
Because when you look at it properly, you see there's 2,580 ratings of
Alec. Do not
Alec
attack
Baldwin.
Your ally. I have just confirmed that you are funny.
Just saying.
Okay, just a quick. I just want to apologise. I actually thought that was a. I thought it was a meta, a really meta sarcastic.
No, I think
review.
The clue's in the star rating, Kay.
Okay, KeyLimePie99 says, love the podcast. Only problem is I can't listen to it whilst driving because I need to write everything down that we recommend. But
it's okay. Don't
John
worry.
Dan actually lists it.
Yeah, he does list it. He does it on your little descriptions, don't you, John Dan? You know those little descriptions you do, sweetie? Those ones. He does
each
list
episode,
all the stuff.
He lists it. In the information part, he lists it. Every single thing we've talked about. So don't worry about it. Listen to while you're driving. Obviously, concentrate on the road. Don't want to cause any accidents.
No.
But yeah.
Maybe at the end we should say, so this week we have talked about...
That'll take longer than the podcast. And finally, Claire Glitter, 5 stars. She's one of our super pogs who says... This is
she
one
only
of
just reviewing us now? Because we talked to Claire.
Right, let's okay, that's fine.
Thanks, Claire.
Claire's very busy lady. She says it's one of our highlights of the week, one of her highlights of the week. And she says it's like having a pop culture chat with her besties.
Oh,
and she's discovered some great TV and films from listening to the pod. So
we love Claire.
Let's move on to the meat.
It's gone all self-conscious.
Yeah, I think we've realised the dark side of Reviews News. So
oh my God, it's awful.
Line it up with Lost in Space.
Woohoo!
This is a reboot, a remake, a reimagining, as I've already said, of the 1960s sci-fi series, which had about 80 episodes. Do you know that, Steph?
80?
Really? 80 effing episodes.
Can I ask a quick question?
You can ask any question you want.
Was there a Lost in Space cartoon?
I don't know. There was a effing terrible film starring...
Was it Matt LeBlanc?
Yes.
Right.
No, that was a film. That was an actual film with Matt LeBlanc and Gary Oldman, and it was awful.
Really?
I think that was in, like, the 90s. When was Friends?
The 90s,
yeah. It was in the Friends era, yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely rubbish. This, however, is a suitably high-budget Netflix remake, reboot, reimagining. Steph, do you know what? I'm going to ask you to summarise what the hell goes on in Lost in Space now.
Okay. Now, join me 30 years in the future, where it is possible to have colonies in space, okay? And that's what they're going to do. But in order to get on these colony ships, you have to go through all of these checks and balances. Now, there's a nice family, and they're called the Robinson family, which is the same name as all the others. Previous
same
incarnations.
Name as all the others.
Previous incarnations. Say, yeah. all the other Robinsons. It's the same name, Robinsons.
In the
previous
world.
Previous incarnations of the show. Space, yeah. However, their family are a little bit disjointed. So the dad, takes you back to where the dad is in the army and the mum is looking after the three children.
They're a bit estranged, aren't
they're
they?
They're a bit estranged, okay.
You see this in flashbacks.
Yeah, so it's flashbacks. And yeah. No, it was hilarious.
But that wasn't a joke. I'm just interrupting. There's some facts.
Don't.
Fine, it's fine. I'm joking. Kate's genuinely concerned by my welfare.
Anyway, Jesus. Everyone listen to me now. Right, so.
I will be interrupting. Yeah.
So, so the mum is desperate to get the family on one of these ships. And
yes.
No spoiler, she does. So when we first are introduced, they're crashing and they crash onto a planet unknown, and unfortunately the ship suffers
malfunction
in the fact that it sinks down a huge hole,
which is the opposite of what you'd want from a ship.
But this all happens very early on, so it's fine.
This is a spaceship sinking.
Yeah, so it's not Titanic.
But luckily the family get out. There's a couple of injuries, but I won't go into what those are. Anyway. Anyway, so then what happens is obviously they have a limited time to reach somewhere safe for them to survive. And they need to find these other spaceships that are also going to join this colony. So in this kind of first episode, it's about, are they going to find a safe place? What the hell is going to happen? Are they going to be able to survive on this planet? Oh, fair enough?
I think that's fair enough.
Fair enough, totally fair.
Kay, it strikes me that Lost in Space, this science fiction remake of a geeky, nerdy science fiction show from the 60s, which there was a terrible film starring Matt LeBlanc, may not be the thing you've been looking forward to most watching ever in the history of the world. Am I wrong?
Correct. You know, you're very much correct. I didn't watch the original, and usually this wouldn't be my kind of thing.
You didn't watch the 1960s original? How rude of you.
I know.
But I'm old enough.
I mean, lazy.
Yes, it's true. That was a joke, Boyd. I know you're not familiar with those because
I don't know
of your
what they are anymore.
Interruptions.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway,
I actually really enjoyed this, and I thought I'd hate it from the description, and I'd be like, oh, God, it's sci-fi. But it was really good because it's just focusing on the family. It's like basically a domestic drama, but just in space. So.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, but Molly Parker, who is from, who plays the mum, who does she play in House of Cards? She's so good in House of Cards. I can't remember the name. Anyway, she plays someone in House of Cards, and she's it's very annoying.
Yeah.
And she was also in Deadwood, which is one of a great series. But all the kids were really good. It's hard, isn't it? Because when you see sci-fi stuff, I'm used to seeing sci-fi stuff more in films. So I was like, oh, this is just like The Martian, which is that Matt Damon film. And it is very much like that. And I thought, oh God, how is this going to continue? Because I couldn't remember the whole, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where are they going to go? They've crashed the spaceship now. What the hell's going to happen? But it does get really, really interesting towards the end. I think the last 10 minutes saves
here's
it.
Here's my beef.
Yes.
I've got beef with this.
Why?
Well, I just feel that, because unlike you, I am a science fiction fan. I'm looking at you, okay? I am a science fiction fan, so I was really looking forward to this.
Did you watch the original?
I've seen some episodes of the original, yeah. I mean, I am almost old enough to watch the original.
No.
But they did repeat it quite a lot in my youth. So I have seen quite a lot of it. And it was very, like, kitschy, kind of silly 60s TV. You know, it's kind of, like, incredibly dated if you try to look at it now. Robbie the Robot and all this. It was kind of really...
Question.
Yeah.
The Jetsons. Who are they? Were they the rival family?
Judy and the Jetsons.
Are they a rival family? Or is that the cartoon?
It's a similar
cartoon. That is the cartoon.
That's the cartoon, yeah.
Okay. Judy and the Jetsons.
Okay, fine.
So I was looking forward to it. And I thought the first episode totally got messed up.
Why?
Because... it got totally bogged down in the survival story, which was like, as you quite rightly compared it to
The Martian.
But the problem is, The Martian's a film, on its own a film, and it's all about, and the unique thing about The Martian was him on his own trying to survive the situation. And this is constant intrigue, is how does one man on Mars, you know, make sure he survives? This is a family, two or three of which members are suddenly in peril in various different ways.
Yeah.
And the whole of the first episode is taken up with, frankly, I thought, quite dull explanations of how they each get saved and how they get separated. The dad, I thought, was hilarious, played by Brit Toby Stevens, who's often very funny and stuff, doing a very kind of I'm a macho ex-military guy kind of performance, which is fine. He was great. But he wanders off with the kid, with his little boy. Then he leaves the boy. And then he abandons his other family. Then he abandons the boy.
That's the whole
it's
point,
hilarious.
Wasn't it?
I mean, that was funny.
He's failing at every...
But I found it a bit ridiculous that he was abandoning them at different points.
I'm surprised you've taken against this.
No. Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
Let me finish. Don't interrupt with jokes.
No, I won't.
It was all redeemed for the last 10 minutes, completely. When... the
don't say what happened.
No. I'm not steady.
Sorry,
God, that
really
was
scared.
Easy. But what I will say is there's a character, because everyone knows that Parker Posey's in it. Parker Posey's been much
a fantastic name as well.
She's probably the most famous cast member. She's a brilliant actress. She was in A Mighty Wind. She was in all of those great spoof comedies in that series. Best in Show. She's brilliant in Best in Show. Have you seen Best in Show?
Yeah,
oh my God, one of the greatest films ever. You must love it with all the dogs. So she's arrives in this in that last 10 minutes. And completely enlivens the whole thing. Suddenly, the whole thing comes to life.
Yeah.
Because she's plays what happens to her is fascinating and intriguing. There's another guy arrives, also intriguing, fascinating. But the first 50 minutes, I didn't like at all. And I thought, oh my God, it's just...
Really? No, I didn't like it.
Right. I thought it was a pointless survival drama, and particularly pointless. If I say one more thing quickly.
Okay.
Because... you know, you've got 9 more episodes. You know they're going to survive. There's no peril at
all. No, but
that's
can
like
you
saying, wait a minute, isn't that just like saying, sorry, Steph,
no,
that a James Bond film, there's no point in watching an hour and a half James Bond film because you know he's not going to die because it's a franchise?
No, I think.
Can I just say, because I think this is really important. The reason why that is so important, that first however 50 minutes or whatever it is because it's actually, what you have to see is how they react in a time of crisis, and it's actually all it's doing is showing you, like, without anything getting in the way, what their personalities are like. That's why I think that's really important, and you actually do really you need to
know
the relationships between the different family members. So I actually think it's important because there's 5 of them, so it is important to understand what they're like with each other.
My answer to that is there's all kinds of ways. You're right, that's what the first episode has to introduce, this family of 5 people and establish the characters. I like the flashbacks. The flashback's good. So all the way through this survival story that's completely pointless because you know they're all going to survive, in my opinion, it's intercut with the flashbacks. The flashbacks are great. So I like that. There's another way of doing it. I just thought there's another way of telling this story, of establishing the characters, that isn't a kind of a very basic people in peril where you're just taking too much time working out how you're going to get this woman out of the ice and how you're going to get the kid off the tree. And I just thought it was. I thought it was frustrating, but I'm. Do you know? I went on and watched the second episode.
I bet you'll love it.
Oh, okay. And it's much better. Okay. So the second episode is three times better than the first episode.
I really loved it.
The more interesting characters arrive, and I think they are going to be the thing. I'm saying now, Parker Posey is going to be the thing that makes this series.
I really did. You not think though? I have to say, I was very impressed with the way that it was shot as well. I thought
it looks great.
Filmic, very
cool,
very nice,
very very cinematic. Yeah, I mean it's a Netflix lavish high budget thing, and it looks great and everything. Yeah, I'm quibbling, but it's an interesting thing. You know, in this day and age, you know, in a 10 episode thing, if the first episode annoys you, do you carry on? But it's the last 10 minutes totally saves it, in my opinion.
Mm. Okay. I do see what you mean now that you said that.
In your James...
Trying to get back in his good books.
In answer to the James Bond point, though, which is a very fair point, I think when James Bond often fails within films in the series, and I love James Bond films, is when they do try and make you think that he might have died for a minute.
Yeah.
That, and everyone's like, well,
it's
that's
pointless.
Preposterous. We know he hasn't. Yeah. But it's about the other characters and the other situations and how he gets out of things that's exciting. Anyway, I'm giving Lost in Space 4 stars. What about you, Steph? Kay?
I am giving it 4 stars too.
Steph?
I'm going to give it 4.5.
No.
I really enjoyed it. And also because I'm not really, I don't really love the sci-fi.
Yeah, that surprised me for
a
No,
I do. I like Star Wars and things like that. So I think that's why I like things like that. But like, I know that is so, but John...
That sounded like John was laughing at you.
Yeah,
I think it was
not
a genuine cough.
No, I like, but not so much just very strict sci-fi stuff. But I actually, really enjoyed it. But I think
sci-fi.
It's because I really like Molly
Strictly
Parker.
Sci-fi. It sounds like a new game show.
Yeah. Good. Lost in Space starts next Friday the 13th of April on the Netflix. On the very same day, Bosch is
now
back.
You're talking.
I think both of you seem to be Boschians. Mm. So I'm turning
Boschos.
To Kay. What the bleeding hell is Bosch?
Bosch is a detective drama starring Titus Welliver as the aforementioned Detective Harry Bosch. And so I came late to this. I actually started watching it last year because everyone was, Steph particularly, was banging on about it. And it is a fantastic drama because he is a detective who is very good at his job, but he's got a lot of issues. There's a lot of stuff that's happened in his past.
Demons.
And he's got a lot of demons. And he does not mind, I wouldn't say bending the rules in order to kind of seek justice.
Yes.
So as the fourth series picks up, so an attorney has been murdered on the eve of a civil rights trial against the LAPD. And so Bosch is put in charge of this because they deem that he is the right person to look at if his team has actually been responsible for this crime or if it's someone else. And that, I mean, that is it. I mean, there's nothing more you can say.
There's been a murder.
There has been a murder.
Yeah. He's
involved in a key trial, yeah.
A key trial, yeah. And because they suspect that it might be actually someone in the LAPD, he's put in charge of it and he's the right person for that.
Yes.
And in the background also, he's still trying to find the person who's murdered his mother. Yeah. And so that is bubbling.
So that's the crucial thing about Bosch, okay? Throughout the whole, so this is the fourth series. Throughout all of the series so far, the backdrop to every case, because he has new cases every time, the backdrop is that he will never be at peace until he finds out who killed his mother was a prostitute and someone murdered her. And in the third season, you think he's discovered who murders her, but he actually hasn't, and there's a big twist in it. So it's just this theme that goes throughout, which is his real motivation for everything.
Who the bloody hell murdered his mother?
Killed his mum?
Steph, you did a very good... at this point, by the way, I'm going to mention that a new magazine called Pilot TV that I've been working on secretly, on and off, for about half my lifetime, / a month, is out this very Thursday, the 5th of April, and it covers all of this kind of stuff, TV, that we talk about.
Well, you got Bosch in there.
Bosch is in there.
I'm definitely
What I was
going
to say was, well, I got Steph
/
to do, because we've done this thing, we've done like a franchise where we say the story so far, or, you know, or this is what happens in Bosch so far. So if you want to start watching it from season 4 and you really can't be asked to watch the 30 previous episodes, if you look at that column in Pilot TV magazine out on Thursday, the 5th of April, $4.99 from your local good news agent, Steph, help me explain. three paragraphs.
Do you know what? That is such a great franchise and a feature because sometimes you don't have the time to catch up. So.
And let me say now, I should apologize to you because I should have thanked you somewhere in that issue.
Oh, wow.
I forgot. Yeah, I'm sorry. So I'm now touching your arm.
Did you really not put my name in? Even though I wrote you those...
You effectively did write, Lord.
Okay, so I feel less bad now.
Did you really not, Boyd?
I think it's quite probable I didn't. I mean, bear in mind, it was a big... It was a hard time, you know, to get this one thing together.
This is going to be a harder time.
Blood, sweat and tears.
If you do pick it up, I did write Boyd, the Bosch, the story so far. I mean, it's only me watching 36 episodes of Bosch, so I could write those three paragraphs for him. But never mind. Anyway.
So what I was going to say was, to interrupt without a joke, is that I think, I was going to say it in silence already. I watched a few episodes of Bosch at the beginning because I'm a big fan. I actually read some of the novels in my old capacity as a weekly book reviewer on Radio 5 Live. Michael Connelly came on a couple of times.
Wow.
He's like one of the biggest selling authors in the world.
Michael Connelly came on a few times.
Yeah.
Bong.
Thank you. And so we reviewed some of these. And he's a kind of brilliant, such a readable writer. And I do think that I completely, because you warned me, so... Steph warned me before I sat down to watch episode one, I won't understand the thing that's going on. She said, you will not understand what's going on.
If you haven't watched Bosch, you will not understand.
But I totally did. A, there's a very good recap at the beginning. So on top of the recap you'll see in Pilot TV magazine that you did, there's a very good, like, 5-minute recap at the beginning of the episode, which totally explains what's happened so far. And I totally got the hang of it and I really enjoyed it. My one criticism of the whole thing is, I almost feel like sometimes everyone in it feels like we've got to remember we're acting in a noirish crime drama thing. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's kind of acting in that very slightly self-conscious, I'm being cool and I'm in an LAPD crime drama on TV thing. Yeah, not all the time. Mm. Just every now and then. There are a couple of scenes where I thought...
I won't have a word said against Titus.
I'm not... He is the one... He's the main exception.
He's fantastic. I love him.
Yeah, I am talking about the supporting characters.
Okay.
So every now and then... He's surrounded by all these different small characters, detectives and lawyers, and they're all hamming it a bit. They're a bit hammy, I feel.
I know what you mean, but can I just go back to that point about you saying that there's a good recap?
Of course.
Having watched Bosch and loving Bosch, I still think you need to, if you don't read that thing in pilot, you should start at season one because there is a lot about his relationship with his ex-wife. So he's got an ex-wife who used to work for the FBI, who moved to Vegas to become a professional gambler and married another professional gambler. And his story is coming into this.
Well, we meet them in the episode, yeah.
Yeah, you
know.
But you
know what? I agree with Steph. So I've watched the first two series. I watched the little mini, as you say, the catch-up at the beginning. And even though I've watched two series and I haven't watched that third... I was confused. So actually, Steph's right. You should start from the beginning.
And also, the other thing
you've got time.
Is that you don't... You need to... In this first episode, he crashes a dinner and he happens to be at that dinner where this attorney gets killed. And you really need to properly understand his motivation for crashing that dinner and what he was doing. Because it picks up 3 months after season three.
I do understand why he was crashing the dinner, though.
Yeah, because you were fortunate enough to read my recap.
No, it's mentioned. It's dealt with in the TV recap as well.
Boyd, I'm going to have to put my foot down here. I really think you need to watch the and also it's very enjoyable to watch the first season.
If you want, we'll leave it up to the listeners, but I enjoyed it very much anyway, and I felt pretty much, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's some things that I'm gonna, but
it's multi-layered, this thing,
densely layered.
Everyone should just watch from series one, buy Pilot TV magazine, everything is gonna be fine.
I mean, those two things are fair enough.
It's The main point is it hasn't lost any of the brilliance of any of the previous seasons. That's really good. The standard has been kept up and it's absolutely fantastic. And I actually really love the way that the supporting characters, they grow in prominence as the seasons go on, which you'll know if you start from season one and get to this season.
She went a little like, hey.
I'm giving it 4.5 stars.
Excellent. Have you given your full, is that your full and frank review of it, or you just want to move us on?
Oh, it's a little bit of a move on.
A little bit of both. It's a move on. I'm giving it a solid 4. I do very much enjoy it.
No, it's absolutely a 5-star.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 5
it's
stars.
It's a no gosh. From you.
It's brilliant. And it isn't the same as lots of police dramas that are out there. There's like a myriad of police dramas that are all very similar. This is very different, I think.
Well, I think he's a brilliant detective character, isn't he? Like,
Yeah, it's all
good
about, he's
Harry.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're definitely agreed on that.
Okay, fine. As long as we are.
Bosch starts on season 4. And they've already commissioned season 5.
Of course why wouldn't they?
Of course they
Good one. They've seen what I've seen.
On the Amazon Prime Video, I think they're calling it Prime Video now, aren't they? I think they seem to kind of drop the Amazon, maybe.
They need to drop the video, which is so retro. It's just the Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
What was it called before?
Amazon Prime Video. I think now it's called Prime Video. Kay's saying she called it Prime. Just saying. Next Friday, 13th of April, all the episodes are there ready to stream. And finally, in the meat, it's Urban Myths Series 2, in which a gaggle of true life stories are retold by different teams of writers and directors and stars. It's going to be people like Noel Fielding is going to be in it. David Suchet is going to be in it.
Kay's favourite.
Luke Treadaway is going to be it, playing David Bowie. Jack Whitehall, yeah. Mark Bolan, 70s mm-hmm. music star. They're going to tell stories like the Day of Live Aid. There's a story about that. There's an Agatha Christie episode.
Which is why, obviously, Suchet, brilliant.
Yeah, he doesn't play Agatha Christie, by the way.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah.
Who does he play?
I don't know.
Maybe Hercule.
So there's 8 in all, and they all arrive next Thursday, the 12th of April. But we have only watched the first in the episode, which is all about Marilyn Monroe and Billy Wilder. Marilyn Monroe is played by Gemma Arterton, mm-hmm. of film star fame. Billy Wilder is played by James Purefoy of The Following fame. You remember that serial killer drama?
Yeah, I love that.
There's also Monroe's acting coach, Paula Strasberg, who's played by the great Felicity Montague of Alan Partridge fame. Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn. Love Lynn.
Marilyn Monroe's legendary husband, player Arthur Miller, is played by Dougray Scott. Mm-hmm. The stars keep coming. Tony Curtis, who is of course also in Some Like It Hot, is played by Alex Pettifer out of Magic Mike. And I have to say, I did not recognise him at all.
I've got another one coming out I didn't recognise.
And finally, and most of all, and especially for Kay, Jack Lemmon is played by Adam Brody off of The OC.
AKA Seth. And I didn't realise it was him.
Kay's
I'm furious.
Favourite.
I'm going to have to rewind.
One of Kay's favourites of all time.
Him and Joshua Jackson.
So it's a star-studded for a half-hour show on Sky Arts. You have to say, it's an effing star-studded lineup telling this story. And, of course, they're also showing, I say of course, not necessarily of course, they are, straight afterwards, they're showing Some Like It Hot. Yeah,
that's a good
it's quite
shout.
Clever.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to start by saying I enjoyed it, but, there's always a but, I thought it took a while to get going. Even in the half an hour format, I thought we... So it's all about... It's focused very much on a scene that Marilyn Monroe's filming in Some Like It. She's getting it wrong and she's stressed out and everyone's kind of having a go. Billy Wilder, the director, is getting really annoyed. She's late on set.
Can I interject with a question?
Yes.
Because it's about the whole thing. I know it's called Urban Myths. So is there any shred of truth in
yeah.
this? Is that what it is?
I think the general gist is that, that there is a shred, but okay. maybe not more than a shred. So these are all things that, like, for so this is an example. So obviously, all of these people were involved in the making of Some Like It Hot. That happened. All these people are real people, played yeah. by actors. But we don't know the minutiae of the extent to which, and you know, it was definitely troubled, the relations on set between Marilyn yeah. Monroe and Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis and the director. But we don't know it's all about that they then take the liberty of dramatising in whatever way they see fit. So the controversial Michael Jackson episode, for example, that's never been shown that we mentioned at the beginning, was based on a trip he took across America with Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor that people think happened, but they don't know for a fact actually did happen.
Well, see, this is my issue with it, because actually, unbeknownst to you, I am actually quite a big Marilyn Monroe fan. I'm very interested in life. I mean, I've read 3
wow.
Marilyn Monroe
Whoa.
Biographies. And
obsessive.
This sounds really geeky, but I'm very specifically interested in the time that she spent with the Strasbourgs, who are huge acting coaches,
yeah.
and the relationship that she had with those, Lee Strasberg in particular, and his wife. So they kind of took her in a period of her life and helped her out, and she was very much like their child. And so I think what I'm going to say about this is probably based on the fact that actually I kind of love Marilyn Monroe in the... I don't know, I found this... quite disrespectful.
Oh.
I don't know.
Wait a minute, it's just a comedy.
I know, but I didn't like it because I just felt it like... I just felt that her whole life was based around people thinking that she was stupid and that she wasn't... And I just didn't
like
it.
But they addressed that point,
didn't they? I know, but I didn't like the fact that... So Paula Strasberg, Lynn, who plays Paula yeah. Strasberg in it, They do this again. Whole thing where they kind of hint upon the fact that Paula Strasberg is always around her and she's just like kind of mothering her and stuff like that. And I just found it, I don't know, that's why I'd never heard. I had obviously read lots of things about various films where she'd had trouble on sets because of, you know, her
drink.
Relationship. Well, relationships, she had, you know, relationships with Arthur Miller, yeah. Particularly was a stressful relationship. And there was something for me, and maybe it's because I'm very close to Marilyn Monroe in my head.
Who knew?
That I actually
that was
found
unbeknownst.
It, I actually found it quite insulting.
Wow, insulting.
I did.
You're
I actually
throwing
did.
The insult word in.
Just because.
Who knew?
It was and maybe that's how they got themselves in trouble in the first place, is that this is a really troubled but hugely interesting person, and it felt like they were taking the piss out of things that you shouldn't actually probably take the piss out of. That's I know.
But wait a minute. But she was getting her lines wrong. The simple. What was the line? My name is Sugar or something.
Yeah. Hi, it's me, Sugar.
Yeah. Hi, it's me, Sugar. That's the only line she had to say. And I have to say, it's kind of one joke, right? This whole 30 minutes is on the basis that she cannot say this one line. Hi, or it's me, Sugar. And she keeps going, Sugar, it's me. And like getting it completely wrong.
Yeah, but
that's not disrespectful, is it?
Everything that I've read, I just thought it was taking advantage of something that isn't that comedic. There's loads of things that are funny that they probably could have based it on, and I just thought, I don't know, it just didn't sit right with me. But I don't know if that's because I'm so interested in her life and as a person and you know, just her breakdown as a human being, that I didn't, maybe I were too serious about the subject
matter.
You're too close to the subject. Yeah. Yeah. Who knew that we had the world's foremost,
she bleeds Marilyn Monroe.
The world's foremost expert on Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. Particularly in the period with Lee Strasberg's wife.
She lived with him for ages.
Every week you surprise us in new and extraordinary ways, Steph. I have to defend them to the extent that I think they're leading you up a little bit the path of, oh, it's the stereotyped version of Marilyn Monroe. Then they absolutely, literally address that point in a key scene where she's in her dressing room. I think she's talking to Jack Lemmon or one of them, and she's talking about how her favourite thing is to read books, and everyone thinks she's stupid.
No, yeah.
And so I don't see any other way of dealing with that than literally dealing with it.
That's exactly what I mean. It's like,
how? What?
Because that was the truth about her, so I just didn't find it funny.
I didn't find it funny either.
It
I agree
wasn't
with that.
Funny.
But you're saying it's insulting. I think there's.
I did think it was insulting.
Oh no, I think. But how can it be insulting if they literally address the fact that everyone stereotyped her as stupid and she's not stupid?
Yeah, but they didn't do that. But for someone who's just watching that, I don't think unless you actually really knew that about her, that she actually wasn't stupid and she was.
She says it herself. She addresses it in the.
I didn't like it.
All right. Well, we're going to have to.
You'll never convince her, boys.
It wasn't funny. Okay. This whole thing was generally not funny.
I think these things generally
are. It's one joke. So once you've. Laughed at it a couple of times.
See, my problem is, this is what I was going to mention, is that joke, the basis for the whole half hour mini drama is that they're trying to film the scene, she can't get her lines right. It's the scene from Hail Caesar. You've seen Hail Caesar, the brilliant Coen Brothers film, where Alden Ehrenreich is in it, and he's trying to get this. He's trying to get this one line right, and he can't say it. And it's a hilarious, brilliant scene. And if you've seen that, I've sat there thinking, "Oh my god, this is the same joke as in Hail Caesar." But Hail Caesar is a masterpiece, and this is just okay.
In Hail Caesar, he's a cowboy with a specific accent, and they want him to have a posh accent, and he hasn't got that.
He can't get the accent. That's right. Yeah, but it's still similar, isn't it?
It's similar, but not as well done.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's just that's really funny.
Yeah,
that is, and I think it's a bit of a shame from these people's point of view, the writer and whoever the director of this, that if you've seen that, I feel it doesn't stack up. But I think all of these stories are kind of gently comic anyway. Some of them will be more comic than others. But I don't think that you're supposed to laugh out loud. Intrinsically intrigued by seeing Gemma Arterton being Marilyn Monroe.
She
was good.
But do you find it interesting because you think that that is the truth? That's what concerns me.
I don't know if it's the truth.
But the thing is, if it's a comedy, it's not a biography.
It isn't funny.
It's not an autobiographical, is it? So it's not like you're with any comedy, when you're watching a comedy, I know it's based on a real person, but with the comedy, you're not assuming that it's all real.
Yeah, but I think that's my problem with it, because so much of it tiptoes around actual fact and relationships, and it's too close to the bone to not be interesting from a point of view that you think it might be true, but it's not funny enough to be and it's not far removed enough to be funny. Does that make sense or not at all? Do you know what I mean? It's like you can't take
things that are actually
well, of course you don't agree with me, but it's just
I know what you mean.
I don't see the point of it actually either.
I think if you don't know, because not everyone has read that book about Lee Strasberg and Marilyn Monroe, have they? There's going to be I didn't know that Lee Strasberg's wife, the other, was played by Lynn from Alan Partridge, was there every step of the way, coaching her. On her acting while
looking
she was in
her.
Some Like It Hot, and I didn't, you know, so I was instantly intrigued to see this thing played out in a drama, and that's the whole point of the whole series. Is I'm also really excited to see, you know, Mark Bolan played by Jack Whitehall in that
also
drama.
David Suchet. It's gonna be fantastic,
right? So I think it's a great idea. I think it's a I'd love to see the one with thing he finds as
right.
Michael Jackson.
There's a difference in between hilarity of having one famous person dress up as another person and that just being interesting to look at.
Oh no, it's more than that. The situation is dramatic and interesting.
I think what we need to do is accept that we have a difference of opinion.
Kay is moving us on.
Absolutely.
It's a move on, and I think I'm for this time, for once, I'm with her. I think we've probably walked this argument round.
Well, it's not an argument.
It's longer than the episode of Marilyn.
It's not an argument. It's a...
It's collapsed to the floor.
It's a debate.
It's just about still breathing.
Let's revive it.
I'm giving it...
what my problem is... Joking.
How many stars does Steph, who was, never forget, insulted by this programme, which could be a new development in the podcast, how many stars, bearing that in mind, are you giving it?
Two.
Whoa.
Oh, gosh.
Whoa. The insult score.
I'll give it 3.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it 3, which is a recommendation. I would watch it.
Again?
Not again. No, I'm not insane, but I would definitely want to carry on watching the rest of the series. I'm watching all of them.
You're watching it for the novelty of seeing those people dressed
and
up.
And it is a novelty.
People.
To some, you're not wrong. It's not. That's.
They've got some good names
but,
as well.
You know, the great names, incredible names.
Okay.
Urban Myths. Not just that episode about Marilyn Monroe, but all the other episodes are going to be available that night, so we can see what you think of the others, whether any of the others take your fancy.
Or insult you.
Next Thursday, Sky Art / Now TV, 9 o'clock, that particular episode. Well, I mean, it's exhausted. We're all exhausted. We've been through the mill.
But it's not over yet.
It's not over yet, because what there is
now
is...
Question Time.
I thought you'd have a special birthday version of Question
Don't,
Time.
Don't, no.
No.
What would be a special
birthday? Kay doesn't know.
We'll think about it after the pod.
Yeah. Kay wants us to stop now.
Question Time.
What is the best TV remake, reboot, reimagining, revival in the history of your life? Kay.
Okay. It won't surprise you to say that I've just taken this question and I've run with it.
That's always the point of Question Time, mm-hmm. Kay.
Because I haven't encountered a TV remake or reboot that I've particularly enjoyed. However...
Ever?
However...
Wow. Mm-hmm, wow.
One I am excited about seeing, because it got 18.4 million viewers.
Oh, here we go.
Is the reboot of Roseanne.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I used to love watching that as a kid. I was worried about it coming back. Oh, will it be any good? You know, some things I don't think should be brought back. And then the figures came out last week. 18.4 million people have watched it. It's a hit. So my question to you, Boydo, can we watch it in the UK?
Do you know what? I don't think anyone's announced they're showing it yet, extraordinarily.
What?
Yeah, unbelievable. It's really weird.
That's crazy.
And I don't know why. It is odd, because Channel 4 course showed Roseanne originally, and I was brought up on Roseanne.
Oh, me
it was
too.
Absolutely effing brilliant.
Oh, I loved it when they brought that diner. Do you remember when they brought that diner with loose meat
incredible.
Sandwiches?
Incredible. It went completely and utterly ridiculous. You remember in the last season?
Well, she won all that money,
off
didn't
the rails.
She? Yeah.
So I will watch it. And it's Roseanne. I'm excited about that, yeah. Steph.
Right, I've got a little list.
Oh.
How little?
If you could edit it to...
You've only allowed one thing. This is point of question
you're only
time, otherwise
one thing,
it's like
you're right.
another dissertation.
Let's put our foot down.
But can I have
down.
Two?
All right, two. Okay. Well, you have a runner-up. What's
Boyd,
the runner-up?
Can I just say something? You can't say, oh, we've got to put our feet down and say, yeah, all right, you can have two.
I can't interrupt.
If you,
so,
well,
you
if you do
one.
Stop talking...
You have to choose one.
I can't, so I'm going to go
don't
on
answer.
Two.
Boyd, you'll go.
No, right, okay. So I've got a film remake, which I really liked.
Well, the question was TV, so, I mean, that, you can discard
well,
that.
Well, I watched the film
when
on my television.
When we do film remake, you can do the film.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, TV. I'm just going to say it anyway. So it was a TV series.
Oh, I'm
the TV series was Starsky and Hutch. And I absolutely loved the film Starsky and Hutch.
I
ben
mean,
Stiller.
Let me just say now, if you could see John Dan's expression,
really
quite right, it was a shit.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, not only have you picked a film, which wasn't even the question, you've picked an utterly terrible
I know,
film.
I really
it's
liked
rubbish.
It.
The only question in mind is, what's worse, that terrible film version of that TV series or the terrible 18 film version of that TV series?
Do you know
series,
what? I like the 18.
Oh, my God. Your critical faculties are right at the spout. I mean, I know I interrupted jokes, but wow. Now I feel I should interrupt more.
Oh, wait. Well, I'm going to do my next one now. And the next one is House of Cards.
Oh, lost.
An actual answer. Okay. So House good. Of Cards with good old Robin Wright Penn.
Oh, I wondered who you were saying was good
I
there.
Wasn't going to say he who shall remain nameless, the well, bad man.
I think we're allowed to say his name.
Well, Kay looked at me funny, so I didn't
say his name
say
if
it.
You must.
No, I don't want to. I'm scared. yes, and that was a remake of Boyd BBC.
Yeah.
The remake's so good, I've forgotten what the original was.
And it was Michael Dobbs,
Dobbsy
actually was an MP. And the first series, believe it or not, of House of Cards, the American version, is quite similar to the British House of Cards, the first series of that, and then it goes completely.
It's like the bridge and the tunnel
different.
All over
but
again.
I fully support your right to choose House of Cards. Let's just make
do
that
you
clear.
Support my right to talk about Starsky and Hutch?
No. Not the film. Not the film. No, it was terrible.
We'll take it off pause. Now, Boyd, what's your answer?
Let's get out. I'm in 2005.
You're in 2005, are you?
I'm taking you back to 2005.
We're taking on a journey with Boyd to 2005.
The greatest TV concept of all time,
Big Brother,
was revived after quite a lengthy break. Doctor Who.
Oh God.
Russell T. Davis, no God. Christ. No God, no God.
Boyd.
Russell T.
Boyd, you cannot, every other answer
at?
Cannot be
this
Sherlock or Doctor
do
Who.
You know what? I thought nothing would get more ridiculous than Steph
it
and her
can't.
Answer.
But it's made me think of something else now.
You know, the difference in my answer, Steph's answer is the Doctor Who revival is one of the greatest revivals in the history of television. By Russell T. Davis with Billy Piper. And it was absolutely fucking brilliant.
How
and Christopher
long was
Eccleston.
Off the screens for?
Been off the screen for years. Years and years and years. It was a huge moment in TV drama. And it has been an incredible phenomenon and success because people forget that it was in moribund Doctor Who when it went off the air before it was revived by Russell T. Davis. And now it's one of the world's biggest TV shows. And I'm not apologising for that. Well, you two can have your head in your hands all you like.
I was just going to say to Kate, do you know what you forgot about? Crystal Maze.
Mm. Oh, don't be silly.
She did, though. That Crystal Maze is good.
Although no one will beat Richard O'Brien. So.
I disagree. Mm. Now, okay, you are now banned, Boyd. I'm going to have to say, you are now banned from any of your answers for the question time being Sherlock or...
I don't know when the last time I picked Doctor Who is. I think you're being grotesquely unfair.
Well, that's what fair, I thought. If we didn't have Starsky and Hutch, but I you go on with that.
If you remember when the last time I picked Doctor Who is the answer to question
If we're
going to
be fair, if Boyd is going to stop mentioning Doctor Who and Sherlock, then you're going to have to stop mentioning bloody dogs.
Exactly.
Sherlock
Thank
is
you.
One thing. Dogs are like a load of things.
Before we melt into a morass of indulgence, let us thank you very much for listening to the 52nd episode of The Unmissables Podcast.
Doubt there's going to be a next one.
Happy birthday, Boyd.
Happy birthday, everyone. Kay. Thanks very much for listening. It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Bye.